The topic of federal real property management has been on GAO's high-risk list for 10 years now, and the watchdog says the challenge of securing federal buildings is one major reason why. GAO's most recent report finds that the frontline contract security personnel who guard most civilian agency offices receive virtually no training on active shooter situations, and an estimated 38% have never had formal training on the X-ray and magnetometer equipment they use every day. Mark Goldstein is the director for physical infrastructure issues at GAO.
It was a wide variety of issues. We found not just the magnetometer and the active shooter training, but we found 23% of files we reviewed contained no documentation for required training and certification in a variety of areas. This could be firearms training, drug testing, no indication that FBS had monitored firearms qualifications in 68 of the files we reviewed. It's across the spectrum of the kinds of certifications guards need.
In 2009, undercover GAO employees tried to sneak bomb-making materials into 10 federal buildings across the country. They managed to make it through security with the contraband in all 10 locations. And Goldstein says the Federal Protective Service has made uneven progress in training its contract workforce since then. FPS is highly reliant on contractors. It's responsible for the security of around 9,000 federal facilities, but with only about 1,000 sworn federal law enforcement officers on its payroll, it relies on 13,000 contractors to staff security checkpoints, while its own officers patrol a wider geographic area and respond to calls for service. With regard to the weapons detection equipment, FPS now has a plan in place to boost its own training requirements for contract guards to 16 hours of initial training and an 8-hour annual refresher course. Stephen Amite, the executive director of the National Association of Security Companies, says the industry supports that, but there are questions about whether FPS will be able to carry it out.
The delivery of this training, though, that has been a problem, and it has been slow getting it out. And I think FPS realizes is that the stretched-thin FPS inspectors really should not be doing training. You know, that shouldn't be their mission. And they're starting to turn this over to they want to turn it over to certified contract security instructors. And we think that's a great idea that will allow for more cost-efficient and faster training. Also, in active shooter training, definitely FPS needs to be doing more with that. I mean, other agencies are well ahead of FPS in terms of training their contract security officers to respond to active shooter incidents. I mean, I've talked with several contractors. And they basically say that, you know, with those instructions and post orders, there really is some confusion for PSOs as to what they can do in an active shooter situation.
Goldstein puts a finer point on that confusion about contractor authorities.
We've interviewed dozens and dozens of contract guards over the last decade, all of whom have felt that they don't have clarity on what their roles and responsibilities are and when they can use force and when they can't use force. And most have told us over the years that their companies have all but said, don't you ever pull out your gun, don't you ever do anything with it.
FPS says it tells its contract guards that if they encounter an active shooter, they should engage him or her with deadly force. But the agency agrees there's a lack of clarity about those contractors' legal authority. Since they are not federal law enforcement officers, their police powers are generally governed by the state and local laws at the location of any given federal facility. And in most places, that means they have no more legal authority than an average citizen. Eric Patterson is the director of the Federal Protective Service.
Really, we are doing due diligence in pursuing this matter. We are working aggressively with the vendors to look at what authorities the states entitled them to as relative to engagement. We're also looking at within the department to look at what authorities might be levied or we could render to these folks relative to legally from the federal sector. So we in fact are looking at how we might address this. We realize it is a concern. One of the other things that I spend a lot of time doing is engaging with the federal executive boards across the country, looking at what are some of the challenges they're having, what are the concerns from their people in these facilities, and how can we provide better training, more training, additional training to those folks in the facility as to how to respond to an active shooter, because that's very important as well. How do we get people out of harm's way when they recognize that there's an event in progress? I would tell you we are looking at this. We are taking it very seriously. It may not come across that way in some of the testimony that we're providing, but I can tell you that we're spending a lot of time with our contractors, a lot of time with legal to find out what's that ground that we can take, because ultimately We have to figure out who's going to bear the cost of this, and how can we do this in fundamentally a smart way, effective way, efficient way, but still provide the same result or a similar result of protecting the folks in those facilities.
Besides handling day-to-day security, FPS is also tasked with conducting risk assessments at federal facilities and recommending countermeasures to prevent attacks. But GAO says the process it uses is insufficient because it doesn't include any way of measuring the consequences to the nation or an agency's mission if a particular facility were to be destroyed.
Instead of conducting risk assessments, FPS is using an interim vulnerability assessment tool referred to as the Modified Infrastructure Survey Tool, MIST, to assess federal facilities until it develops a longer-term solution. However, MIST does not assess the consequence, the level, duration, and nature of potential loss resulting from an undesirable event. Risk assessment experts GAO spoke with generally agreed that a tool that does not estimate consequence does not allow an agency to fully assess its risks. Thus, FPS has limited knowledge of risks faced at about 9,600 federal facilities around the country. FPS officials stated that they did not include consequence information in MIST because it was not part of the original design.
But even if FPS were doing a perfect job of assessing the risks to federal facilities, it has no legal authority to order changes to a building's design or to add additional security measures. Those decisions fall instead to local panels of agency leaders called facility security committees. And that's a problem, according to David Wright, the president of the union that represents FPS officers. He, Goldstein, and GAO all say those committees don't tend to have any direct experience with security matters.
But the frustrating, inefficient, and outright wasteful bureaucratic system of implementing physical security countermeasures through a flawed facility security assessment process and implementation by facility security committees who have to divert their mission funding is eye candy and not true security. Security in the Dirksen Senate office building is not based on an individual Senate office's ability to pay. Why should other major federal facilities be different?
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.